morning, Center Point. Well, as I come into the pulpit this morning, I certainly have mixed emotions. On the one hand, I'm very excited, as I always am when I come into the pulpit, because I get to worship the Lord with you, and I have the blessing of opening up the Word of God with you to a church that I dearly love. And on the other hand, I am filled with sadness because I know that this is my last day serving as an elder in this church, as a shepherd to this flock. And it is hard to put into words how much I love this church, how grateful I am for this church. But thankfully, there is a passage in God's Word that puts it much better than I ever could. And it is a passage that aligns perfectly with my affection for you and my desire for you. It's a passage that's written by a pastor to his beloved congregation in Philippi. So, would you turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. I will be reading from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11 this morning. The Word of our God says this: I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of our Lord. Would you pray with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we have an opportunity to worship you together this morning and to listen to your word, to learn more about you and who you are and the amazing, gracious character that you show to us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for this morning where we get to look at you and behold your glory. And hopefully by your grace and by your Spirit, we will become more like your Son as we behold him. So Holy Spirit, my prayer this morning is that you would use me as your instrument, weak as I may be, that you would use me to edify your church, to build her up, to strengthen her, to see her on to maturity. So God, would you come now and work within this church, for the glory of the risen Jesus Christ, to whom all glory and honor and praise belong to you. We pray this in his name. Amen. Center Point, I desire this morning to take this beautiful passage from Philippians chapter 1 and show you the love and the affection that a pastor had for his church and has for this church, and how Jesus Christ is glorified in all of it. The book of Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul to a church in Philippi. A major theme of this particular Bible book is joy, and as a matter of fact, we actually see the word joy or rejoice occur over a dozen times in just four short chapters. And some have wondered how Paul could possibly have written this letter knowing that while it was written, he was in prison. How could it be that the happiest man in Rome was imprisoned? Well, the gospel of Jesus Christ evoked such an awesome joy in the Apostle Paul to the point that he could say from Philippians 1:21, to live is Christ and to die is gain. The Christian's true joy is found in Christ and not in the circumstances of life, for the Apostle Paul shows that so clearly to us. And Paul likewise derived much joy from others who were in Christ. To his brothers and his sisters that he enjoyed fellowship with in the gospel. And for these reasons, Paul experienced a tremendous joy despite any and all of his circumstances. He loved his God and he loved the people of God. Now, his outpouring of affection that we see in this letter to the Philippians surpasses that of any other letter he has written. He doesn't show this kind of thanksgiving and joy to anybody else, but we know that from this letter that the reason for that is it's all a result of the fellowship that he had experienced with the church at Philippi. Look at verses 3 through 5. He says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. It is this partnership in the gospel that has led Paul to thank God for them and to pray for them with such joy in his heart. And this Greek word partnership is koinonia. You've probably heard that before. That's the word for fellowship. This fellowship that Christians experience, it's Trinitarian in nature. It's when we together are drawn into the life of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Fellowship is when we together glorify God and enjoy Him above all. As we have been united to Christ through faith, so too we have been united together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And listen to what the Apostle Paul says elsewhere in the book of Romans. This is very intimate language. He says, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Christians are united together by the Spirit of God. And we experience a relationship, a friendship that surpasses friendships of any other kind. Gospel friendships are radically different because of the type of commonality that is shared within that relationship. We share a common Savior. We share a common mission. We share a common gospel message. We are partakers of a common eternal life. And it's that precious fellowship that leads Paul to give thanks and praise for this church and to pray for them with such joy in his heart. In the same way, I give thanks to God for you, Centerpoint. I have experienced this fellowship with you that Paul describes. I will likewise always remember and give thanks to God for the fellowship that my family and I have experienced with you all. From sitting under the preaching of God's word together, from partaking of the Lord's Supper together, from witnessing baptisms together, from studying the Bible together in life group, from lifting up our voices to God with one voice. In all of these ways, my family and I have experienced fellowship with you and many more as well. We have worshiped the Lord together with each of you. And there is no greater privilege than that. There is nothing more meaningful than that. This fellowship, this partnership in the gospel that we have experienced with you, it is precious to my family and I, and it's something that we will forever thank God for. Look at verse 6. Paul says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Church, this verse is wonderful news for us, for all Christians. This verse is what reminds us once again that God is the author of our salvation from beginning to end. It's something, if something were to fall under the umbrella of salvation, then it is clearly, according to the Bible, a work of God. It's something He does. Salvation includes the following: election, calling, justification, sanctification, glorification, adoption. All of those things fall under that umbrella. And they're all a work of God that He has begun and He will complete. So if a person is elected by God unto salvation, then they are called by Him out of darkness and into the light, and they are justified by faith, or they're made right with God by faith. They're adopted as a child of God, and they will experience sanctification, and they will eventually in heaven be glorified, where they are exactly who they are supposed to be. Philippians 1:6 assures us of this. Paul tells us that God did not start the process of salvation just to then leave us to our own efforts, or is as if he brought us to life spiritually and then stepped back and say, "Okay, you take it from there." Instead, he tells us that he will never leave us, he will never forsake us, and that he will ever preserve us so that we will truly persevere in our faith to the very end. Because what he has begun, he will most certainly complete. This is a wonderful comfort to every Christian, because we know that we continue to struggle with sin, and yet God has truly saved us from the wrath that we deserve for those sins, and he will faithfully finish the work that he began in us. Center Point Church, don't ever take this good news lightly. Don't ever take it for granted. I urge you from the bottom of my heart to never take the gospel of Jesus Christ for granted. Every day you wake up, preach the gospel to yourself. Remind yourself of this glorious news. Remind yourself daily, hourly, minute by minute, of the love of God in Christ Jesus. Don't ever forget the holiness of God and how that means that our sins that we've committed, they must be dealt with. God is a good and a just God, which means he can't allow sin to just go unpunished. And that's obviously very bad news for humanity, because we know we've all sinned, and that sin has separated us from our amazing God. We all do deserve his wrath, his righteous judgment for sin. But thanks be to God that he loves us so much that he planned a rescue mission for us, a redemptive mission that would result in us being brought back to him safely. So the Father sent his Son into the world, and he was our substitute. Like Adam in the beginning, who represented us, Jesus comes and he is again our representative. But this time the representative succeeded. Jesus did live a perfect life, righteous in every single way. And then the perfectly innocent took the place of the hopelessly guilty on the cross of Calvary. And the whole reason Jesus even came was to die on that cross, where he paid for the sins of the world. He took the punishment for you, Center Point. He paid for your sins. He took your hell. He paid for every evil thought, word, deed, motivation, anything that is sinful, he dealt with it. Every single sin, past, future, present, he's dealt with it, center point. Church, you are forgiven of all of your sins through faith in Jesus Christ. And just as all of your sins have been transferred to Jesus, all of his righteousness has been transferred to you. This is the great exchange. The righteousness of Christ is now your righteousness. You have been made new. You have been declared righteous. You have been adopted into the family of God as a child. You are being made righteous in practice by the Holy Spirit. You are becoming more and more like Christ. And none of that would be possible apart from the work of God and his gracious plan of redemption. So center point, please don't ever take that lightly. You have been reconciled to a glorious God. You have been united to Jesus Christ. You have been loved with an everlasting love. You have been given a gift that never could have been earned. Christ is your life, and living to glorify him is your great purpose. And so I ask you, please rejoice. Rejoice in your salvation and take comfort in the fact that what God has begun in you, he will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Okay, verses 7 and 8. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. My family and I came to Center Point almost exactly 3 years ago. And we very, very quickly joined the church. The reason for that was because it was immediately evident to us of the love that the church has for one another. That same love was shown to us right away. We have felt as a family loved and cared for ever since we first stepped foot into this place. And I hope with all my heart that you have felt loved and cared for by us. I can say with, as Paul has said, with God as my witness, we hold you very dearly in our hearts. And we yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Thank you for loving us so well during our time at Center Point. You will never know how much God used you in our lives to grow us spiritually in so many ways. You have been an incredible example to us of what it looks like to live the Christian life. You have shown us very clearly what it looks like to love one another the way Christ has commanded us. You have shown us what it looks like to serve one another. You have shown us the love of God and taught us so much about loving God and loving one another. And we are truly grateful and will forever hold you dearly in our hearts for that. The last three verses of this passage reveal to us what Paul desired for the Philippian church. And it's likewise my desire for Center Point Church. It says this, "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." In a word, this is a prayer for sanctification. This is Paul saying, praying that the church would grow in love, in knowledge of God, of His Word, in discernment, in wisdom, in righteousness, in holiness, in praise of God. Center point, it is indeed my prayer that you likewise would fervently strive after the Lord together, to pursue holiness together, to live a life that honors and glorifies the Lord together. Please do not ever lose sight of the simple yet profound mission statement of this church, to glorify God by loving Him supremely, by growing in His likeness, treasuring Him above all that you possibly could, reaching the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is at the heart of this church. It's what the church exists for. This is to be your focus at all times, individually, as families, and corporately, as a church. The glory of God is to be your priority because it's God's priority. There's nothing more important than God being glorified, because that is exactly what He is worthy of. And you will glorify Him as you love Him supremely, more than yourself, more than your spouse, more than your children, more than anything or anybody else. Your allegiance, above all, is to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And your love for Him will constantly increase as you get to know Him more intimately. So I think it would only be appropriate for me to quote one of my favorite verses that I'm pretty sure I have quoted in every one of my sermons at this church. And that is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So, center point, if you desire to love God more, if you desire to grow in His likeness, if you desire to share the gospel with others more often and with more passion, then commit yourselves to one thing: beholding the glory of the Lord. As you behold the glory of the Lord, you will love Him more, and you will grow in His likeness, and you will have an increased desire to tell others about Him. Do you see how the mission statement of Center Point Church is one that seamlessly works together? All three of those components are intimately connected to one another: loving God, becoming more like God, sharing the gospel of God. And all of that starts with beholding the glory of the Lord. So how do you behold the glory of the Lord? It's through seeing it in the Word of the Lord. And so I urge you once more, as I've done in all of my sermons, to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. For when you do so, you will behold the glory of the Lord. And when you behold His glory, you will be transformed into that same image from one degree of glory to another. Church, you become like what you behold. Behold the risen Christ and become mature in Christ. And this will surely bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. So never stop encouraging one another to faithfully pursue the Lord and behold His glory. That brings us to the end of our Philippian passage. I do hope that you can just see the great affection that the Apostle Paul had for his church. And I hope, likewise, that perhaps you can sense, even just a little bit, the affection that we have for you, Center Point. In closing, I want to share just one more verse of Holy Scripture with you that really captures the heart of my family and I. That verse is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. Center Point, Lindsay, Jaden, Owen, and myself have not only shared with you in the gospel, but we have shared with you our own lives. We have enjoyed sharing meals with you. We've enjoyed birthday parties with you. We've enjoyed King's Dominion with you. We have enjoyed pool parties with you. We have enjoyed many things with you, putting up fences with you, and tipping over your wheelbarrow. We have shared life together with you through the good and the fun times and through the hard times as well. We have cried with you and we have laughed with you. And through it all, we have been so blessed to share life with you. And so our hope is that though we will no longer be in this place on a Sunday morning, that we would be able to continue to share that life with you all as brothers and sisters in Christ. We have been so very blessed by your understanding and your support through this time. You have been so kind to us. You have been so encouraging to us. Your response toward us is a great testimony of this church's maturity and kindness and Christ-likeness. You have modeled Jesus Christ to us. You have loved us very well during an extremely difficult time for us. This church is a very, very special place, and we couldn't be more thankful for every single one of you. So I just say thank you for everything, Center Point. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you as an elder. Thank you for an opportunity to serve some of you through counseling of the word. Thank you for the opportunity to preach the word. Thank you for the opportunity to teach the word. Thank you for the opportunity to get to know you. Thank you for the fellowship we have shared in. Thank you for sharing in life with my family and I. We thank you sincerely. We love you dearly, and we will forever be grateful for Center Point Church. I leave you now with these words of blessing from the Holy Scripture, which come from 2 Corinthians chapter 13. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you with all my heart for this church. I thank you, God, that I thank you that you have sustained us through this very difficult journey to get to this point. And I say that, Lord, because I know that you have used the people of this church in that process to love us and care for us and support us when we really needed it. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you sovereignly brought this passage to my heart when I thought of preaching this sermon. That you gave me a pattern from your word to share with this beloved congregation. Lord, I pray your protection upon this church. I pray, my Lord, that this church would be guarded by you, that this church would grow, to become more like Christ every single day, and that you will use this church to reach the community of Mechanicsville with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank you with all my heart, Lord, that you have allowed me to participate in that great mission with these great people. And my prayer now is that you guide this church, protect this church, and use this church to fulfill the great commission and the great commandment that Jesus Christ, who is the risen King, the King above all kings, the Lord above all lords, that he would receive all glory and honor and praise because he alone is due those things. Lord, we as a church now lift up our voices to you, telling you we love you and we thank you for the gospel. We cherish that gospel. So please be glorified this morning in your church as we give you all the praise. We love you and pray all this in Jesus' name.